In American politics, the role of the political consultant is full of myth and intrigue. Karl Rove, President Bush's top political strategist, is the center of endless speculation about his reach and influence. James Carville and then Dick Morris rose to prominence as the wise men behind Bill Clinton. One of the nation's most prominent consultants has written his memoir, Falling Up, How a Redneck Helped Invent Political Consulting. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports.
Ray Struther has been a political consultant to Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and Gary Hart. A former president of the American Association of Political Consultants, Struther got his start in the fast and loose world of Louisiana politics. But he was born in Texas and got his first taste of politics at the family dinner table.
My father was a union guy, and he told me that poor people like us, and we were very poor, we had no voice and no power whatsoever. Without money, you're lost in America. So you have to unite. You have to join with other people to make yourselves heard. And he thought that politics was the only way to do that. So I grew up at a dinner table where we only talked about politics. In fact, I'll tell you, my mother was a fundamentalist Baptist, and you couldn't say heck because she thought that meant hell, and you couldn't say darn because she thought that meant damn. So we couldn't use any profanity unless it was a prefix before Republican. Damn Republican. Damn Herbert Hoover. Damn Republican Depression. We could say damn before anything like that, but that's the only way I could curse. So as a young man, I was into damn Republicans.
Now, Louisiana politics, I mean, from afar, it just looks like a world unto itself, but you were in the center of it.
Yeah, it's like Latin America. First of all, Huey Long made it a panacea. He made it the giver of all gifts. If you wanted your driveway shelled or graveled, you went to government for it. Government supplied everything. It's very, very Latin in that way. So people depended on government, and they were willing to overlook corruption.
What's the difference between Washington politics and Louisiana politics?
I found Washington a lot different. I found people taking things more seriously. I found discussions more serious. I found it intellectually stimulating and less of a tolerance for corruption. I actually like Washington very much, and I'm down on some of the things that happen in Washington, but the city itself and the institution of democracy, I think, is great.
One of the politicians that you brought along was a newcomer to the Washington scene named Bill Clinton, governor of Arkansas.
Yeah, it was great. It's interesting. He hired me in 1984, an incredibly, exceptionally bright man, but a micromanager. And he always had his eyes on the prize. He was never a man who was ever in doubt of where he was going. He was going to be president of the United States. And he wouldn't declare it, but you could see it. You could feel it. Everything he did pointed toward it. And if you got in the way of that in any way, he would just step over you and go the next guy. I mean, he was a pretty determined guy. And he stepped over some people, some friends and things, to get to where he is. But maybe that's what you have to do to become the most powerful man in the world. I don't know.
One of the candidates that you worked for was Gary Hart.
Gary Hart is the greatest wasted natural resource this country. I can't tell you how highly I regard Gary Hart's intellect, his integrity, his love of his nation, and he was creative. If there was a downside in the Clinton intellect, Clinton wasn't creative. He couldn't write speeches. Hart is this incredibly creative man who's written about 7 books, got a PhD from Oxford, very thoughtful guy, came up with a lot of military renovations, I'm going to call them, that they're using right now, smaller mobile forces, high technology. I mean, those were Hart plans that are being adopted today.
When did you work for Gary Hart?
I worked for his 84 campaign all the way. I worked for him continually until a month or so after the Donna Rice incident.
What did you feel about losing out to Gary Hart's weakness in that way?
Well, you know, I didn't hold it against Gary Hart. Maybe it's because I'd introduced him, the man that was with him, Bill Broadhurst. I mean, maybe I felt some guilt about it, some responsibility. I'm not sure. But I felt terrible about Gary Hart, and I felt bad about me because my firm was going to do nothing that year but Gary Hart's presidential campaign. But you know, the financial blow wasn't nearly as bad as a feeling that I'd missed my great opportunity in life to actually go to the White House, not to govern. I'd like to talk about that. I don't think we should govern. I don't think we're qualified nor fit to govern.
Political consultants.
We are not fit to do that. We should not run government because we're always thinking ahead to the next campaign. We're not thinking about what's best for the country. We're thinking about how to posture the candidate so the candidate will look best. We're thinking about photo ops. We're thinking about landing on aircraft carriers with a helmet under our arm. We're not thinking about what happens if we declare war on someone. We're looking at the next campaign.
Well, let me ask you for a second to be the grand old man, because right on the cover of your book it says how a redneck helped invent political consulting. Political consulting is a major industry in modern American political life.
Yeah.
In fact, people would say if you look at everyone from Mike Deaver to Karl Rove on the Republican side, you have a model of political consulting in its most resplendent success.
Oh, yeah. But what's happened in the evolution of this business is we've gotten better and better at helping people get elected, and we've become almost indispensable, and we've become part of governing. And I don't think that's good. I'm repeating myself. I don't think that's good. The other thing's happened now is Bill Clinton polled virtually every day when he was president. George Bush is polling virtually every day. Karl Rove has access to polling virtually every day. So leadership has diminished and polling has taken over. You know, polls go up and down. They go up and down like a teeter-totter. But leadership should go straight ahead and should have a vision at something in the distant future, not something that has to make adjustments on a daily basis. We're an emotional country. Well, humans are emotional. And you can have one catastrophic event, an earthquake or a murder or a kidnapping or something, and people want to change the laws the next day without thinking about what it might do to the justice system overall. What you need is somebody with vision who will look down the road and say, this will pass. Let's do what's right for the country and not what the polls say to do at this moment.
Political consultant Ray Strother. He's a Democrat. His memoir is titled Falling Up, How a Redneck Helped Invent Political Consulting. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.
NPR's national editors include Ellen Weiss, Ron Elving, David Sweeney, Barbara Campbell, Ken Rudin, Steve Drummond, Janet Domowitz, Ken Barkas, Andrea De Leon, Kathy Shaw, Michael Field, Cindy Johnston, Les Cook, Uri Berliner, B.B. Krause, Margaret West, Alyssa Barba, and Libby Lewis. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.